What will it be to find yourself in the gap? I'd like to answer that from a personal experience. A year ago, I was sitting on an airplane in a bewildered state of mind. When I boarded my flight, intending to pass the time by writing, I discovered that my notebook and handheld computer had been packed away in a suitcase. Something, fate, circumstance, a clumsy oversight, had placed me alone for 4 hours. Without notice or permission, a subtle mental voice started to guide me. It gave me a glimpse into how my mind works. What I saw was very basic. There is a thought in the mind, and then another, and then another, and another. These thoughts can be gripping or pass by unnoticed. The guiding voice pointed this all out in a few seconds. Now, what is the proper way to relate to your mind? The voice asked. Should you always do what it says? Clearly not, for we have all kinds of thoughts that are irrelevant or fantastic. Should we ignore what it says? No, again, because the mind gives us all the desires upon which we build ourselves. Seen this way, there is no single way to relate to the mind. You can't take a stance that will always work. When people decide arbitrarily to be optimists, they may miscalculate when it comes to serious crises, evil doing, wars, personal conflicts, etc. If they decide arbitrarily to be pessimists, they will miss many opportunities for joy, fulfillment, hope, and faith. It would appear that being spiritual is one stance that works. Yet there are situations where even being spiritual, tolerant, loving, accepting, and detached from materialism won't work at all. A parent can't simply accept and love a child addicted to cocaine, for example. Active intervention is called for. 1,000 other examples come to mind. Love won't defeat torturers. Tolerance won't stop the excesses of fanatics. A person must find an infinitely flexible way to relate to the mind. The most precious gift of the mind, its total freedom, is the source of our creativity. Now, my mental guide said, look at the world. Isn't it the same as the mind? The same unpredictability prevails? Go one step further. Karma is also unpredictable. At this point, the sun had set, I could see the last band of blue-orange lights circling the horizon. My mental guide wasn't an accident or a daydream. I realized that for a long time, I'd wanted to know how it all works. The answer is that mind, the world, and karma are the same thing, perfect mirrors of each other. Their complexity is impossible to fathom. Their infinite connections can never be mapped out, and even if they could be, the next tick of the clock will bring a new, equally infinite set of possibilities. That realization is as close as I've ever come to being in the gap, where a new lifetime is chosen. The gap is the pure revelation of freedom, and when you see that you're completely free, choices change. Some souls want to remain completely unattached. They choose moksha, or liberation from a physical body, and the karma it acts out. Other souls cherish moksha, but want to enjoy it while possessing a body. They choose to reincarnate with complete self-awareness. We call them enlightened. The rest of us fall somewhere else below these two pinnacles of the continuum. We cherish being free, but we also want new experiences. So we let karma weave a new story for us. We agree to acquire amnesia about I am in exchange for the drama of being a separate person with likes and dislikes, challenges and opportunities. The new life we clothe ourselves in will contain its unique measure of connection and disconnection. This is hardly the perfect way to relate to mind, karma, and the world. The perfect way is freedom. But in our imperfect way, we become part of a mystery. We open our eyes to this fascinating play of light and darkness, and once again the physical world becomes our reality. We return to a belief that death is a fearful thing, and we forget the knowledge that we had when we were in the gap. We keep only a bit of the truth close by so that we have something to aspire to. I have a feeling that we also keep a measure of sorrow for the decision we made to leave truth behind. Our half-truth has one virtue, however. As long as we believe in it, the soul will never give up on teaching us the rest. For that purpose, the dream continues.